Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to part two of our super special mini-series with Patty Kramer and Michelle Donovan. Now, the first podcast that we did, we talked a lot with Patty about productivity, because we know that if you're doing the right thing and doing the right activity, other things really start falling in place. And they both talked a little bit about how they work so closely together because, well, they're actual business partners in Productivity Uncorked. But a lot of times Michelle will get a referral and they need to work with Patty first, or sometimes Patty will get a referral, but they really should be working with Michelle. And so now we're going to focus on what Michelle does. And Michelle Donovan is a referral coach. She also does a lot of business coaching with financial services professionals. And we are going to just jump right in. And the reason why is because I really need to ask the question that I think is burning on my very small mind, but I know on a lot of our listeners' minds too, which is, where do we even begin with this referral thing? Do we ask centers of influence? Is that where we focus our productive time? Do we focus on existing client relationships and kind of go after them for referrals? Michelle, I don't even know where to begin. And I don't think a lot of advisors know how to take that first step.
Right. And, so walk us through that. First off, thanks so much for having us, Matt. We're really excited about this series. But it's sometimes a different answer for each advisor, because everybody has their strength and everybody has their weaknesses. But from the fundamental start of it all, when you look at building your referral relationships with either existing clients or COIs, there's no question that for the vast majority of advisors, those two components will always rise to the surface. And so it's a matter of really looking at who do you choose from your client base to really focus in on, and who do you choose as your best possible COIs. And those can be approached in very different ways. And one of the ways, from my perspective, particularly from clients, is to begin looking at the clients that you have the absolute best relationships with. It's not necessarily, a lot of advisors will think that it should be the people that have the most assets with them, for example, or are their largest clients. It's not necessarily that at all, because you will have greater success from the referral perspective if you're working with the people that are already your most satisfied, most engaged clients with you personally in a relationship.
I always have heard that there are advisors who are concerned, even with that depth of relationship you just talked about, Michelle, that they're afraid that if they ask for referrals to those people that they have the relationships, whether it's a COI or whether it's an existing client, that it's going to come across as them sounding desperate.
That is without any question one of the things that I'm confronted with all the time with clients. And one of the things that I would say to that is a self-sabotaging thought. And it is something that from the advisor perspective, it's all about a trust industry, right? Trust profession. There's trust that has to be built up. And when advisors are afraid to have that conversation with particularly the clients that they have the absolute best relationship with, these are the people that, like, when they see their number or their name on their phone or whatever, they get excited about it. And they're like, oh, I can't wait to talk to this person. Or they know they're coming in. Oh, I can't wait to see this person again. These people, 9 times out of 10, have already expressed their love and affection to the advisor. And there is already a significant level of trust. And if the advisor truly trusts that relationship, they would have no fear. It's an interesting thought, isn't it?
Well, it is. I love how you just said no fear, right? Because you're right. That is a self-limiting belief. It is a self-sabotaging belief. Centers of influence. I'm going to switch gears just quickly, and then obviously this will all make sense with my madness here. But with the centers of influence, there are people within the financial services industry who work within the financial services industry who are horrible historically for providing referrals, like estate planning attorneys and like
there's a lot of reasons why the reciprocity doesn't necessarily go back and forth. And from my experience, one of the biggest reasons right up front is the establishing of expectations and the think of it as identifying the characteristics of the right COIs. So what I find, for example, is that advisors are spending a lot of time with the wrong COIs, but that's because they haven't spent the time to really first think about who do they really want as COIs from the personal characteristics and qualities of that individual, so that they know that they're spending time with the right people from the very beginning. But then after that, establishing what they want in that relationship as expectations, knowing that you can't ask for something, particularly from an individual, unless you're willing to do the same thing back.
Now, we did talk about expectations in the previous podcast with Patty and how powerful and important those expectations are. How do you go about, without giving up too much of your secret sauce, Michelle, how do you go about setting clear expectations with a center of influence or those existing clients to make it so that that ask isn't fear-based, that it's excited and you're happy asking them?
With COIs, one thing is that you kind of have to sit down and at first off and do a little bit of internal work. And, you know, and that's where the coaching relationship really, really helps you to dig into some of that, you know, some of that information for yourself, because it can be a little bit different for each person. And so when you're thinking about the expectations of what you really want from a COI relationship, you have to really look at it from not only what do you want from that relationship, but what are you willing to give back to that relationship? And then once you have that list really solidified, it's a matter of sitting down one-on-one with a COI and saying, look, you know, I'm raising the stakes, really. I'm raising the bar with my referral process, and I want to make sure that I'm spending time with highly effective, very reciprocal COIs. And so I've created, you know, what I'm looking for, and I want to kind of share it with you and see if we're on the same page and see what you have to contribute to it. Because the thing to always consider is that this is it should be considered a partnership relationship with a COI. And that in and of itself means that you're willing to meet each other both ways, and you're looking to establish the expectations so that both parties benefit more than what they've ever benefited before.
One of the things we talk about on this podcast all the time is niches, right? Or niches, depending on how you pronounce it. How does that apply to the whole referability or asking for referrals?
That's very interesting, because I've helped numerous clients to develop niches as well. And it tends to be a little bit of a trend right now in the profession, because people want to separate themselves from other people. So when an advisor creates a niche, it literally changes everything. It changes everything from beginning to think about what you're looking for in the COIs, because the COIs would potentially change if you want to get very specific about it. I'll give you an example. One of my clients recently decided to niche into the equestrian world, because she is an avid equestrian and she wanted to really serve that pocket of the market and much more effectively because there's a lot of value in horses, particularly certain kinds of horses. And so her COIs needed to change from the traditional CPA and estate attorney and so forth to more the owners of the barns and the people that put together the hunt clubs and so forth. And that began to really shift not only who she was spending time with, but where she began networking to get connected to those people.
Can you tell us a little bit about that process? I mean, how do you go? So that was a very specific example. Let's go super broad, though. You just get a new client. You're working on, you know, trying to figure out who they're going to talk to about referrals or who they're going to go after because they're the ideal client, the people they really love to be in front of and that they're excited about when the phone rings. What does that process look like? Help us. We talked a little bit before we started recording about your discovery process and how you both don't work with everybody. Tell us about that discovery process. How do you help an advisor have that epiphany?
You mean like an epiphany about wanting to serve a niche? Is that what you mean?
Yes, absolutely. Or finding that specific niche. There are some people out there who say, you have a niche in your book already. You just don't know it. And then there are other people who are totally oblivious. But you know as well as I do, and both of you know as a coach, our job is to have them discover the answer instead of telling them the answer. So
it starts with really paying attention to them and listening to what they're talking about. And asking very, very thoughtful questions. There are many, many times where you hear the response come back that they say, well, that's a good question. I've never thought of it that way before. And that's when you know you're onto something that is really going to a different level that's going to potentially reveal something very special. And in many times, in many cases, it's listening for their passions, listening for when their voice completely changes. That just happened not too long ago with a client that we've been working together with them for a little while now, probably a year and a half. And in one conversation, all of a sudden, her entire persona changed when she started talking about a particular thing that she was very excited about and very passionate about. And it is now taking her down a new path that she didn't necessarily even give a whole lot of credence to initially.
I love your ability to listen, to focus on that because, you know,
everything we do is over the phone from the coaching perspective.
So I want everybody to just digest that for a moment. So this team at Productivity Uncorked is so in tune with their clients that even though they're not able to see things like micro expressions or facial expressions, overt facial expressions, that they were able to hear within this person's voice a different level of excitement, a different level of engagement, which led them down a path to really help this person realize something that is could technically and with all practicality change her practice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's already told us that that our relationship has transformed her practice. And there's no doubt that not only is this going to completely influence her direction somewhat, but it's going to make her a lot of money.
That's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Like especially when you're really passionate about something.
I want to go back, circle back around a little bit to setting expectations. What happens if you are setting expectations with, and we'll go to the centers of influence right now. So you're setting expectations with the center of influence. We know that they already know and value your professional advice. They think that you're good at what you do, because I'm assuming that's part of the whole discovery process and figuring that out. But they're giving you resistance. And so here's another objection that I've heard, especially in the realm of attorneys, divorce attorneys, estate planning attorneys, tax attorneys, is, But Michelle, if I only refer to you, then I'm going to limit the pool of people who I can refer to.
And there's a few different ways to approach that. One is really, if you have that understanding from the very beginning and you're okay with it as the advisor, then that's fine. There's nothing to really question about the relationship. You have an understanding, you've had open communication, and that's the way it's going to be. But where the trouble comes in is that people don't communicate. And so many times the estate attorney or the divorce attorney may not be meeting their end of the bargain, but the advisor really doesn't understand as to why. And until they have that conversation and understand why, then the advisor just purely has a decision to make. It's a matter of, am I okay with this or am I not okay with this? Would I be better off spending my time and energy with a different estate attorney or a different divorce attorney where I could have the more of the reciprocity that I'm looking for?
Let's talk about activity, because I think this isn't necessarily a sprint at the beginning. It's more of a marathon. How do you build activity into your calendar that will promote people thinking about you, being top of mind, and just having you right there, kind of on the tip of their tongue to refer to you when they're in a relationship with another person?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting because it's part of the reason why we're called Productivity Uncorked is because if the advisor has spent any time with Patty, they will have learned how to calendar and use their calendar effectively so that they can create the time in their calendar to have that level of time management where, number one, they can find the space. And so when they have the space, then it's a matter of working with me to identify, okay, what is the right activity that we want to put in that space? And it all depends on what their goals are and what they're trying to focus on. So, for example, if like a woman that I started working with, I guess it was last week, her main focus is that she wants to gain more referrals directly from her favorite clients. And so what that's going to involve is that obviously she's got to spend more time with those perfect clients that she wants to have that conversation with. But it's not about just spending time with them. It's about what she's doing during that time that she's spending with them. And so we would really discuss and figure out what specific activity, whether it was educating those clients on how to refer her effectively, or whether it was building the relationships further, or getting to know where they may be networked, those kinds of conversations would come into play.
Okay. And this maybe is a non sequitur question, or it's not going to really follow entirely, but something you just said triggered this. How much is too much? How much is being too in front of the people? How much is asking too many times? Is that entirely tailored to the individual? Do you guys have research beyond
how much is too much? In terms of, let's say, are you talking about clients or COIs or both?
I was painting that with a broad brush because I didn't know where you were going.
So let's take it from the COI perspective. In some cases, There's a need for advisors to be in front of their COIs potentially every other week. And if that was the case, then I would provide them with a process that they would utilize with that individual relationship that would give them not only a purpose, but an intention of what they're doing when they're in front of each other every other week. Some advisors find that that's too much and that the relationship could be just fine with maybe being together once a month. But when they're together, when they're meeting as a genuine referral partnership, it's very much about what actually is happening during that meeting that makes it a productive meeting that focuses on generating prospects for each other in a proactive manner on a regular basis.
Matt, this is Patty. Also, it's a matter of the reciprocity is so important also. So if you're meeting and it feels like it's too much, it's probably because you're not getting anything in return. You're giving and not receiving. So that's kind of where that the meetings are so important, to get both sides feeling like they're receiving and giving and not just one or the other. And so how much is enough? I don't know. I think that becomes very clear whenever you're meeting with somebody. But if you feel like you're just walking away and feeling empty, then maybe the relationship is not in the space it needs to be in.
Right. Right. And I think in all cases, from what we do, everything we do is very organic. And so in many cases, I'm giving advisors language. I'm giving them the actual words to say when they're in, you know, different situations. And so we will oftentimes be talking very, very, very specifically about individual relationships that they have.
Do you take your clients through practice? Do you role play with your clients? Do you help me with that sort of stuff from a coaching?
Yeah. If role play is something that they would find valuable, yes, we do. I'll do that with them. I've done that I'm thinking of a woman client that we have right now who, you know, she was afraid to ask for business from clients and so forth. And so she would come to the call for a good while. We did it this way. She would come to the call with a very specific scenario. And then we would go through that scenario and I would role play her as if I was her and she would be the client so that I could share with her the language in that way. And that worked for her. It doesn't work for everybody.
Michelle's really good at making her clients write really fast because she gives them a lot of good words and language. And I'd say 99 times out of 100, they come back to the next coaching call with a home run. They're like, holy Moses, that worked. What did you give me more of that.
Yeah.
Well, I really do believe that people don't understand the power of word choice. And Michelle, if for everybody who hasn't been to productivityuncorked.com and from our first podcast, you really need to go and click on both of their bios. And one of the things that I really like is the fact that both of you have focused a lot of your education on that communication, on making sure that you're using some right word choices. And with another broad brush, would you mind giving us some of the words that you both have found trigger the behavior that's desired when it comes
to trigger the behavior? Well, for example, sometimes it's very subtle nuances. I was talking to a client this morning, and we were discussing how to teach her clients to really be able to open up the conversation on her behalf. And so one of the things we had said was, you know, what can you have your clients be saying in that regard? And one of the things I said to her was, what about if it was something like, if I know someone who could help you with that, would you want to meet her? And she just latched on to that. And one of the reasons being is that statement, typically, if a client is saying that to somebody, they're saying it to somebody that potentially has an issue or has stated a problem or has expressed some pain or something like that. And if the client is responding by saying, look, if I know somebody who can help you with that, would you want to meet her? The chances are, in that case, they're not going to say no. The chances are the person's going to say, well, yeah, I'd like to meet her. And then they can go from there. But that is one of those little nuances that was just a little gold nugget for her. She had never thought of that simple statement and how that much could really open up a door and pretty much guarantee a connection.
Now, Michelle, I'm being harder on you than I usually am because I know you can handle it. I totally set you up on that one. I just really wanted to see where you were going to go with that. Because, and I believe this, and you can tell me if I'm wrong because I'm wrong all the time. But what works for somebody else, right? So these people who go buy these referral packages and they say it just right. Like this because it works. That's not, or let me, I'm making an assumption. Is that true? Do you have to tailor the communication to the advisor specifically who is going to be setting these expectations and doing the right activity?
We're all about tailoring. We're all about tailoring because we don't really look at what we do as a one size fits all kind of thing, because not only is each individual advisor coming to us with their own strengths and weaknesses, they're all coming to us with their different limiting beliefs and their own sabotaging behaviors, and they have their own fears and things that kind of get in their way, and we understand and help our clients to learn the information from the DISC behavioral styles. Are you familiar with that? Yes.
Yep.
And that's the foundation of our coaching process. And once our advisors understand and learn the essence of DISC, we continually bring that into the individual coaching scenarios and individual situations so that they learn how to pay very close attention to the individuality of each person that they're relating to. And that doesn't matter if it's a prospect or if it's a client or if it's a COI. Each one of those people have a DISC style that needs to be considered when they're interacting and communicating with that person.
I happen to be a big fan of personality tests in graduate school. They made us basically yes. take all of them. We took we even took the MMPI, which yeah. by the way is a very, very intense diagnostic test, but right. we took the DISC and the Colby and StrengthFinder and all of those. And I love that stuff. And but maybe that's just because I'm a real geek and mm-hmm. I like learning about myself because I have to live with myself and I'd like to know what the heck's going on. All right. As I did in the last question, as I'm doing with these podcasts from here on out, because I realize that I get in my own head more than I probably should. What question should I have asked you that I haven't asked you, either one of you, about to kind of wrap
Patty,
up?
This is Patty, and you've done an amazing job, of course, as always. And we talked about our coaching and at the last call, but one of the things that we didn't get to mention and you might not have asked about was our speaking. We do a lot of speaking on referrals and productivity, and we've spoken at a lot of different conferences and corporations and anywhere from Schwab Impact down to Women's Advisors Forum, NAFA, NAPFA's large firm fund. Yeah, we get all over the place with broker-dealers and wholesalers and investment
regional
firms.
Regional meetings.
Yeah, regional conferences, national,
right.
whatever. And it's something that we really love because when we do our coaching, which we adore, it's one-on-one and it's so powerful, but we like to get information out to more than one person at a time. So speaking offers that opportunity. So if anybody's ever looking for speakers who have done a lot of speaking, we've been speaking for, I've been 20 years, Michelle, probably the same. And I know I've spoken for over 1,000 times to different audiences, and we have a slew of topics on our website on the speaking tab of our Productivity Uncorked website. So that's something just to consider so that you can get a lot of this information to more people than just the one-on-one.
Right.
And that is on. So if you go to the Productivity Uncorked and go under the What We Do, there is a speaking tab, and it really is. You guys have a great website.
Wow, thank you.
I rarely say that. I mean, it's really. Oh, you have a speaker's kit. So, okay, magnificent. Please, please, please. There is nothing about this miniseries that can't be used in a speaking environment. I think all of our listeners have been able to feel their passion, their expertise, their professionalism, and their unbelievable content knowledge. Why don't you bring them in and have them teach what we've talked about in this podcast? And of course, can go even deeper. Your topics are absolutely fantastic. I'm not going to go through all of them. We're going to make sure that we have linked in the show notes to the website, and especially to the speaking page and to your bios. You did say last time, I'd like for you to repeat that you're doing a women focused group coaching based off your book. Would you guys mind sharing that one more time?
And then we'll wrap up. We wrote a book. It was a bestseller on Amazon last July. We released it. It's called A Woman's Way, Empowering Female Financial Advisors to Authentically Lead and Flourish in a Man's World. Just a side note, we do work with men also, but this particular book was for supporting women out there. And we've now created a small coaching series, a group coaching series, where We get about 6 to 8 women together on a call and we go through the book, because there's nothing worse than buying a book and putting it on your shelf and then not doing anything in it. So we have created a curriculum with a 34-page workbook to go with it that comes through digitally. And we do all phone calls where we bring the group together, and there's 6 calls on productivity and 6 calls on referral strategies. And when you're done, you have lived the book and now you have the tools that you need to survive and succeed in this world. So it's already like taking off. So it's been
taking
great.
Off. And we've got, typically the group is from women from all over the country. The group we have right now, we've got a woman from Alaska all the way through down to our neck of the woods here in Pittsburgh. So, yes, we're having a great time with it.
Well, I want to thank both of you so much for spending time on this mini series, in really sharing some very important tips and tricks on how to not only just have a successful life, stay organized, stay productive, but also how to grow your business by doing one of the most effective ways that you can to grow your business and market your business and get your thought leadership out there, which is asking for referrals.
So thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. We appreciate your time.
Make sure you go to productivityuncorked.com and check out everything that's on their awesome website. We'll also make sure we have some extra stuff in the show notes, including how to sign up for this new course that they're offering. And they're going to be offering this course as needed and more, because more and more people are coming into it, which is even better. And we're going to do whatever we can at Top Advisor Marketing to help, because we truly want to do what we can at Top Advisor Marketing to help women in financial services be more successful and really, in my opinion, take over the whole industry.
But
that's a totally different topic. Yeah, thank you. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, click that subscribe now button below. And if you don't mind, give us a quick review on iTunes. If you have any questions, or if you have a great topic that you want to have us cover, or a great guest, please email me at matt@topadvisorm.com. So for everybody at Productivity Uncorked and everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.